We've got the team together with the opinion and selections. Let's get it started. RSN 927's Saturday panel.
Caulfield Cup Day, great to be with you here on RSN 927 for such a wonderful day of racing, not only here in Melbourne, but of course up there in Sydney with the Everest. Let's welcome in our team to preview the 10-race program there on a Cup Day at Caulfield. Dean Lester, it's always a great day, mate. In fact, I think this was the day that helped you get a job here at RSN 927, is that right?
It probably was, Gareth. Yeah. I was talking with Steve Cairns, the late Steve Cairns, the day before Might and Power won the Cup, and said he was going to the race. He said, "You got a tip for me?" I said, "You should have something on this." And I think he was about 11-1 the day before, and he chimed in. So I owe Might and Power a lot.
Yep, you nailed that job interview, thanks to Might and Power. Yes. When you woke up today, Dino, were you expecting to wake up to a heavy eight with 21 mils overnight?
If it was at Cranbourne, I would have thought a heavy 13, Gareth.
Yes.
So I think heavy eight's probably, they've got out of it not too badly.
Gator, did you enjoy your run in preparation for today? Or was it wet and wild when you woke up?
Yeah, it was a bit nasty, wasn't it? And certainly pretty blowy out on the run. There weren't many soldiers out this morning, I tell you, but as you've touched on, 20 races between the two states and some of the best racing in the country, so certainly excited.
Good morning to you, Warren Huntley. Have you enjoyed this year's build-up to the Caulfield Cup? No international runners, of course, this year, and it's a chance for the Australians and New Zealanders to take centre stage in a way.
Well, Incentivise has been the story, hasn't he,
yeah.
When he burst onto the scene in Queensland and then the trek to Moody. So it's been terrific. It'd be a lot better if we were able to be on course and really experience it. But it's come together as a terrific race despite the lack of international competition.
Nick Quinn from the Tab, good morning to you. I'll start with the Caulfield Cup. What's the betting doing there, mate?
The favourite just eased again. Already this morning, Gareth, Incentivised now out to $2.70. Mm. So it is fun to monitor this market and see what quote we anticipate the favourite will jump. Was odds on prior to the barrier draw, reopened at $2.50 following the draw.
What's been the best back for the meeting?
Well, there's been a good move in race number four. Punters are looking to get the cash there with a runner that's done nothing but firm in the form of number 10, Kapalua Sunset. Was $2.90 initially, has been backed all the way down to $2.15.
Let's have a look at the first race, benchmark 80 over the 1,700 metres. You can scratch the one, Ballet Master, the three, Just Benjamin, and the six, Coolth here, Quinny.
And Eagles Crag heads the way here at $2.15. It has been a popular way for punters to start the day through the all-up bet. Senna's Express at $5.50. There's been money for number 7, Mimi's Award. Was $13 yesterday morning, now into 6. Then we've got Saracen Knight, a $15 chance. Salt Peter's attracted support at longer odds, including one bet of 5,000 at 21, has trimmed up into 15. There's been a little bit of money around as well for number 2, Skador, 21 into 19. But a few popular favourites to start the day, and hopefully a few multi-bets can be alive after the first four races.
Dino, this favourite's at 2.15, as Quinny pointed out, Eagles Crag. And it was reported that has the whole synthetic filler in today. For the punters out there, can you just explain what that is? And is that a concern if it's the $2.15 favourite
on
a wet track?
I think on any track, Gareth, synthetic hoof fillers, it's basically, they're papering over the cracks, if you like.
Yeah,
a bit of, it's quite a firm substance that is over the hoof, to hold it together. So there's obviously been a little bit of an issue there. And so that's never ideal. Otherwise, they'd all be using it. I'm thinking that he's got a very good chance. Even before that, I thought he was too short. And the two I want to play, principally Mimi's Award, I think she's got a great chance. She made ground in what's looking a fantastic form race because it was a high-pressure race at Sandown, won by Cirilio Miss, and horses around that form, Embolism ran well in the Toorak, a few others have performed nicely, and she was rounding off that race really well and came of age last preparation, and I think she's got a terrific chance. The other one that interests me, though, is Saracen Knight. We saw him on a wet track bet round this time last year, went at Caulfield and win a good race, beating Irish Flame and No Effort, and he's first up back with Danny O'Brien, who had him at that stage last year. I think it'd be a bit of a project to have him ready for this race, and the soft track's a bonus. I think he's a real watch runner. Eagles Crag can win, but he's too short for mine, and Sinners Express has been really competitive through the winter, handles the wet and gets the claim, but I'm playing the race around numbers 7 and 4 at a little bit of value. 7, 4, 10, 5.
7, 4, 10 and 5 for Deno there. Gator, what are you doing here in the first?
Yeah, no, look, I'm with Eagles Craig. He's quite promising. He chased the flying Mr. Brightside before the strong win last time. Of course, he beat key rival here. And he had the handy Bel Toro safely held behind him in third. And that sort of ties in with that Mimi's Award form. She was terrific first up, Mimi's Award. I've got a bit of time for her. Sinners Express, 5 weeks between runs in the latest. Made ground. It was a race where nothing did. He's in the game too. And Salt Pepper, a very genuine horse. 10-5, 7-12.
10-5, 7-12 for Gator in the first. Warren, are you taking on this favourite?
Well, to some extent, Gareth, I do think he's too short in the market, and Mr. Brightside's a bit of a constant tying the form together here. And seeing his Express was back in the field, probably didn't have the best of luck, but he is going to balance up and work home anyway. That's his general style of racing, but he handles the ground. I'm going to go with him. Seeing his Express, 5 out of 7. Mimi's Reward, I thought she was terrific, working home well first up. She will get through the ground and she'll appreciate the rise in distance. Eagle Crag's in the mix. The synthetical filler has to be some concern. He hasn't been exposed to heavy ground under race conditions, but he's trialled well on it, so I don't know if that's necessarily a real concern. And getting down on the weights, Ghost Doctor's probably not known as a Saturday Metropolitan horse, but on a benchmark 80 on his preferred wet ground, I've got him in as a trifecta first four chance. 5-7, 10-9.
So 5-7, 10-9 for Warren Huntley. Dino likes the 7-4, 10-5, and Gators with the 10-5, 7-12. Just Warren, some tragic news that's just breaking here. Sir Dragonet, unfortunately, was put down after breaking down in a track gallop at Moonee Valley this morning. So our thoughts with all of the connections, Kiramar and David Eustace and the staff there. That's just devastating news to start off Caulfield Cup Day.
Very sad moment out there at Moonee Valley. Quite often a number of the gallopers go out there and have a gallop the Saturday before the Cox Buck, leading into Breakfast with the Best. And yeah, that would be a very sad scene out there. That's tragic.
Yeah, thinking of everybody there. So just repeating the news, Sir Dragonet, unfortunately, he broke down today at Moonee Valley and he's had to be put down. So thoughts with all of the connections there and the year and Eustace and Mar Stable. Quinny, let's have a look at race number 2 on the program. This is for the 3-year-old filly. Scratchings are clear. What price is this favourite, Vianello, now?
Now $2.60. Had been a firmer initially in the week, but has just got out slightly on race day. Still heads the market now. From Morioka, who's a $4 second elect. Lady Adelaide, $6.50. No Crying, $7. Game Legend, $8. Pacific Ruby, $12. Stern Impulse at $15. So initially the money was with the favourite Vianello, but since that point in time, there has been support for both Lady Adelaide and No Crying.
Gator, I guess this 3-year-old filly's race really excited you today.
No, it's a good little race. Yeah, I think there's no real stars amongst them, but I think it's a winnable race for Vianello. She was 7 weeks between runs into that Jim Maloney. She batted well, finishing behind a couple of key runners in that 1,000 guineas, which I'm not sure what to make of that race. But, look, she'll go forward. She might be able to control things here. Morioka got lost at Flemington last time. It was a tough day to swoop for mine, yet she made ground. She wasn't far off in the Tranquil Star prior to that. That's also that 1,000 guineas form, obviously. And Game Legend, she was beaten by a similar margin. Marioka was in the Tranquil Star behind Bonza Perla when they clashed back in September. Just don't think she ran a strong 1,800 last time. I think she's in the game. And No Crying, should have finished closer to a handy male in Prowling. That horse then ran well in a group 2 in the stud and had a task last time and actually ran pretty well. So, look, quite a few hopes. I went 1, 2, 5, 6.
What do you do with this race, Warren? Vianello's the favourite, and she's got pretty good form lines, but she's only had that one win from 10 starts.
Yeah, highest-rated horse in the race is a 67 rater, so effectively it's that grade of race. But of the two favourites in the first two races, I'm much happier to be with Vianello. Her exposure to heavy ground, she was held up. She was really strong through the line at 1,100 metres at Randwick, and she's run well on soft ground. So I've got no problem with her on the ground. I think with the additional fitness from that gap between runs going to her last start that Gator said she can probably be ridden positively, and I'm keen on her Vianello. I just think this is the right race for her. One, hit a four Lady Adelaide. I like the way she ran through the line. Second up to break her maiden. Stepping up in distance will be a positive. She's handled soft ground well. Obviously rises in grade from that maiden victory, but with the ratings in the race, it's not a significant class rise on ratings. Morioka just hasn't had a lot of luck, been too far back, too far forwards, hoping for a bit of a Goldilocks scenario from a good draw, perhaps just behind the speed today in the small field. And six, No Crying. Still a maiden, but looking for 1,400 metres and going well enough to be in the mix behind her. What I think is a justified favourite, 1, 4, 2, 6.
How do you think these fillies sort out their order in the early part here, Dino? And then your tips, please.
Gareth, I didn't think it was huge speed, and that's why I think Vianello can probably get up on the speed, maybe with Game Legend, and control the race and be hard to beat. I think this is the right race for her. That was a high-pressure race last start, and she ran well. So different scenario here. I think she can win to beat No Crying, who's a maiden, but she's going okay. Lady Adelaide, I thought, hit the line quite well to win her maiden last start. And certainly Morioka from a better draw, blinkers on, and as Gator said, hard day to make ground last start, next best. But I think, whilst it's probably the lowest graded race of the day, it might be one of the better betting opportunities. I think Vianello can win 1, 6, 4, and 2.
So 1, 6, 4, and 2 for Dino, 1, 2, 5, and 6 for Gator, 1, 4, 2, and 6 there for Warren. So the team keen on the Godolphin filly Vianello in race 2. Race 3 is the Gothic Stakes for the 3-year-olds, listed level over the 1,400 metres. Quinny and Daily Bugle, the one is a scratching.
Now, we had Extreme Flight and Sandy Prince both open up 350, and they were joint favourites initially. Since that point in time, Extreme Flight has been the market mover, 350 into 280. Sandy Prince just pushed out slightly to 360. Then we have Cheerful Legend 7, Park Avenue 750, Prince Alexander 8. There's been support for a long shot here, number 10 Corkscrew, $21 into 13. But the best backed runner here is the favourite, the theme throughout the first four races, this time Extreme Flight.
Michael Kent Jr. said he is hopeful that Corkscrew can measure up to this class today in the Gothic Stakes after its debut victory there at Horsham. But as I go to you, Warren, Sam Freeman, very bullish about the chances of Extreme Flight, this favourite.
Well, he's done nothing wrong, Gareth. His debut run at Sale was good. Perhaps he just didn't get things right behind Lena's Legend at Echuca. But then the blinkers went on when he got to Mowi, and he won very well. Then he got the better of Lena's Legend and others at Sandown last start. Preta Turn came through that race to certainly not disgrace himself in the Caulfield Guineas, and he'll handle the ground. I'm confident that he will with his win on soft ground, and the blinkers have been the key to Extreme Flight. So I'm with him. I think the main danger might be Cheerful Legend. If he does handle the ground, I think he's got genuine upside. He was heavily backed to win at Mornington, and it was a really smart ride from Matty Cartwright. He had to extricate from an awkward position mid-race, and he's been rewarded with the ride in a no-claim race here from John Sadler, so that's a good vote of confidence for Matty Cartwright. Four Sandy Prince will be up on the speed, no improvement at this stage of the preparation, but going well, making his own luck. And two, Park Avenue, the different form line down from Sydney, good form on soft ground, and probably didn't get the right run the way the race shaped up from that draw last start. 3, 6, 4, 2.
And John Sadler did point out if the rain didn't come, he would have recommended to the people out there to have something on Cheerful Legend, Dino, but he just doesn't know whether he will go in today's conditions.
Yeah, that's a fair point, Gareth. And the two that I think will get through it, Extreme Flight, who, since the blinkers have been applied and he's got to the outside of horses, he's terrific. He was very good at Sandown, and Warren's outlined the form there. And Park Avenue, I think, handles soft ground and looks well placed. Has to run a strong 1,400, but from the draw, gets a lovely run. Cheerful Legend, the unknown in the ground, but it was a pretty neat win at Mornington last start. And Sandy Prince can't be improving, but he is better suited back to 1,400. A very fast run mile just sorted him out last time out. But back to 1,400, if he's got one more run left in him, he'll give a good sight for a long way. But I think 3 and 2 are the key runners, 3, 2, 6 and 4.
And Gator, what are you doing here in the third race?
Yeah, I think it's given the track rating, I think it's advantaged Extreme Flight. Unbeaten since the blinkers went on, and all the form's been outlined there. That was the first go, 1,400 as well. Jordan Widest, I think the fence might already be edging off. Cheerful Legend, heavily back, really good win fresh. you've run well close up in a Group 2 size in the autumn to Lightsaber, who just run well in that Corfu Guineas as well. So you tied that form in with the Extreme Flight form through the Guineas easily. His one fail on wet ground was inconclusive, but it's an unknown, as we've touched on there. Sandy Prince will give you a sight. Prince Alexander back in trip, the other key hope for mine. 3, 6, 4, and 7.
Dino in the third. 3, 2, 6, and 4. Gator, 3, 6, 4, and 7. And Warren Huntley also keen on the 3 Extreme Flight. Currently at $2.80 with the tab in the Gothic Stakes. So 3, 6, 4, and 2 for Warren Huntley. The Ethereal Stakes, Group 3 level. These horses on the path, you would imagine, if they perform well today, of course, for the VRC Oaks. Quinny, you can scratch I Like Big Putts here. There's 5. And this favourite, as you just pointed out, has been heavily supported here.
Yeah, best backed runner on the program, race 4, number 10, Kapalua Sunset, open 290, bets of 6,000 and 8,000 at the 290, basically as soon as the market opened. And she's done nothing but firm. She now dominates the market at 215, stalking at 750. We've got Daisy's $9.50 into 9, Mokaloo at 9.50, Glint of Hope 10, Biscani Bay's gone the other way, $6 out to 11, Tismo Bay 13, Adela Moore, 19, 21, or better the rest, but plenty of support for number 10 here, Kapalua Sunset.
And Brett Prebble rides Kapalua Sunset in the Ethereal. Let's hear what he has to say about her chances.
I worked her Tuesday on the grass, and, wow, it was pretty solid work. You know, she worked with Young Werther and... I reckon she had him on the canvas nearly. You know, I think she worked with him twice now. She worked once at Mooney Valley before she won at Flemington, outworked him and probably outworked him again. So, like, she's really putting her hand up as the filly that's probably going to be the strongest and toughest and over 2,400, I think. But, you know, some of that will tell us a bit more, but she's pretty exciting.
That's not a bad push for the filly there. Dina, Kapalua Sunset in the Ethereal from Brett Prebble.
Yes, fair rap, isn't it? working with an older horse. And she was very good on debut. And her second run, she didn't beat a lot at Kyneton, but was there for all to see how well she did it. And she looks the right sort of type. I think we saw the manifold form stand up well on Wednesday. And I thought Stalking was a very good run in that race, coming off a break. So she'll be fitter and looks as though the longer triple suit. Glint of Hope, I just thought maybe ridden a pair too close. In the scheme of the day, it wasn't a bad thing, but for her, it made her a bit one-paced. I just hope a little bit quieter ride today, especially if they're edging off through the day. And Mokaloo, she was out where you didn't want to be, and she toughed it out okay. And I've always thought of her as a bit of an Oaks filly since she ran well behind Profundo at the Kensington track, so I've got her in next best. But favourites are one to beat. It'll be interesting to see how these form lines all come together now. 10, 3, 6 and 7.
Are you keen on this favourite as well here, Gator?
Yeah, look, it was probably one of the better maiden wins I've seen for a while. Yeah. And certainly that was backed up on the clock as well. So she just comes at this race in a year where, you know, there's not a knock on it, so there's just not a lot between them. She might be one that can, you know, might be that a bit more scope. She was only start 2 the other day as well, so I think there's plenty to like. They haven't missed her in the market, money stretch. But I've got her on top. Mokaloo, wide, no cover in the manifold. Again, referencing that day, it was tough to be out there, sort of trying to make your ground. She battled really well. Her run in Sydney prior to that against the Savage track bias was actually really good as well. She was fourth quickest time in that race out in the quicksand. You know, we've referenced a number of times here how many have come from that, you know, that part of the track and improved out of sight. Daisy's good late splits last time, and Stalking gap between runs as referenced last time might be a bit fitter. 10 on top though, 7, 11, 3.
And we got great pushes there this morning, Warren, from James Cummings with Stalking and also Michael Kent Jr. there with Daisies, who are both progressive staying 3-year-old fillies, you would imagine.
And the form through that race, Edward Manifold, as Dino outlined, held up well in the 1,000 guineas on Wednesday. Got some great insight from Brett Prebble, though. He seems excited about Kapalua Sunset, and I think it might have been Al Patronis he won on. It was another horse of Danny O'Brien's, and in a post-race interview said, this filly might be headed towards an Oaks, and he said, she's got a bit of ground to make up on the one I won on a kite. And so he's cat's out of the bag in terms of what Brett thinks about Kapalua Sunset. She's tight enough in the market, and I don't know if I want to back her at that price, but just excited to see what she does again today. 10 for me ahead of 3 Stalking through the Edward Manifold form line. Looks like 2,000 metres will suit inside of the track. Mightn't be an advantage for Damien Oliver at this stage of the day, but I'm sure over 2,000 metres he'll work that out through the same form line. I thought Daisy's was a real eye-catcher closing off. She'll relish the step out to 2,000 metres. And then through the Barbrader form line, which also held up at the 1,000 guineas, you could mount a case for 8 Tis My Bay and even 12 Morissette at odds. I've put them in 10, 3, 11 and 8.
Dino's with the 10, 3, 6 and 7. Gator's with the 10 from the 7, 11 and 3. And Warren with the 10 from the 3, 11 and 8 for the 3-year-old fillies in the Ethereal Stakes. The boys turn over the 2,000 metres for the 3-year-olds in the Ned's Classic. El Rocco, the 3s are scratching here. Quinny, of course, the filly. Our patroness also goes around once again to take on the boys, I should say.
And she has been a firmer as well, El Petroness, who's been $10 into $8.50. Gunstock heads the market here, $3 out to $3.50. There's been money for Micro, $5.50 into $4.80. We've got Gundeck, a $6 chance. Tis Magic, $9 into $7.50. Then T-Waters, $16. Reset the Jazz, $19. And money for a long shot here, number 7, Sharp, at $41 into $31. So the first four races, it's been all one-way traffic for the market leader. But this race, much more competitive. Gunstock a little bit soft and a little bit of a firm for both Micro, Tis Magic and El Patronesse.
Michael Kent Jr. identified Gunstock as the stable's best for the day. And young JD Hayes gave Reset the Jazz a bit of a push too. It's into $19 now with the tab gate. How have you assessed these three-year-olds?
Look, I've lent to Micro, won the maiden in strong style and then just didn't quicken at the Valley. It was pretty good home. Second quickest of the race behind Forgot You. Then ran well in the guineas. So just lent to that form over the Gunstock race, which was a bit odd. I don't think I've seen a horse in more dire need of blinkers since Kennedna than Gunstock. He took about 3 days to wind up, and then he did sort of get going late with Tis Magic. They just missed El Patroness. Race didn't rate, you know, much good, but that was the story with Kennedna. She went into a group two with the blinkers on and blew them away. So they can improve length, and he looks like a horse that will. So he is a danger. And there's those other two I've referenced, Tis Magic and El Patroness. You know, if that's the right form, they must have a case. And Gundeck's in the game, but I went 1-6-4-13.
Do you think the blinkers will do the trick here for Gunstock, Warren?
Oh, they're likely to. A great stable in identifying gear changes. And as Gator said, he took a while to build that momentum last start. But gee, I think there was a lot of merit in the win of El Patroness. It was a positive ride from Brett Prebble, and I could see a similar scenario here coming across and getting up on speed. Perhaps Sharper and Gundeck are there, and I would see Brett being positive early. It worked on El Patroness last time, and Danny O'Brien seems to be splitting these horses up well. El Patroness capable of taking on the boys as a lead-up, perhaps towards the Oaks. I'm going to go with her again each way. 13 ahead of 6 Gunstock, who might be sharper with the blinkers on. There wasn't a lot between them last start, but perhaps a tactical advantage to El Patroness. 4 Tis Magic through the same form line gets the pre-race earmuffs on. There's not a lot between the two horses from the Price and Kent Jr. stable, and Gundeck was really tough kicking back. Simon Wild just giving a little bit of a word of warning about heavy ground during the week. Just wondering how he will handle that, but you'd think he'd make his own luck, and the form around him holds up well. 13, 6, 4 and 2.
What's your speed map here, Dino?
Gareth, I thought that you'd have the likes of Gundeck, Sharper, as they did at Flemington, and El Patroness coming across from out wider. I'm anticipating Gunstock to be a little bit closer because he was going to posse up okay, and then when he eased, he actually overdid it without the blinkers. So I'd imagine that he won't be that far back. He'll be inside midfield. So interesting race. I actually got that interview totally wrong, Gareth. I thought, you know, because Brett Prebble does talk at about 9 to the furlong. I thought he was talking about El Patroness when he said it worked with that one. But this is, I think, a really hard race and interesting in the heavy ground. I think Micro, we've seen him on wet ground. He's had a really solid base of racing, and I think that'll actually stand him in good stead here. He had a solid 2-year-old season. He's had the 4 runs back. And I think he's going well. He comes off a high-pressure race, and I don't necessarily think the Valley suited him that well. Gunstock, as Gators mentioned, needed the blinkers last start, so get them today. They're going to help a lot. Tis Magic, his stablemate's got a chance. I think the Sydney galloper, Antonio Giovanni, he made ground in a race that not a lot changed, and he kept finding the line. I thought it was a good run, and he's progressing okay, and Al Petronas is there with a chance as well, but I'll put them in 1, 6, 4 and 12.
In your time, Dino, listening to the jockeys in the media throughout your career, who's been the best judge?
Look, he's nearly the best on the track of all time, so I always listen when Ollie speaks, because he's an economist with words, but what he says, it makes sense.
So Dino in race 5, 1, 6, 4 and 12. Gator with Micro as well in the Neds Classic, 1, 6, 4 and 13. Warren Huntley is with the filly, Al Patroness, the 13 from the 6, 4 and 2. It's 8:29. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back and have a look at the second half of the program on Caulfield Cup Day. Hopefully you're enjoying your Caulfield Cup Saturday morning. We're racing on a heavy 8 there at Caulfield. Hopefully an upgrade. The rain, we're crossing our fingers, it'll be clearing. And we get a nice day's racing this afternoon. Don't forget to download the RSN 927 app or jump on our website at rsn.net.au for the spring ticket. I'll be joined by the great Dean Lester, Matty Stewart, Mickey Sharkey, Dwayne Dunn's been excellent throughout the afternoon as we celebrate a terrific day's racing with the Cup and also the Everest and the two Victorian provincial meetings as well. Let's have a look at race number 6. This is the Moonga Stakes over the 1,400 metres. And, Quinny, what's the market doing here? Do we back Buffalo River today? What do you think?
Well, I think yes, and the money has come for him as well. But I'm very concerned about our friend Adam White because his weather prediction was simply putrid yesterday morning. So we might need to check on him throughout the course of the day. But more importantly, Buffalo River has been well backed here. Opened up a $4.20 second elect and has been back from $4.20 into $3. The clear favourite now from Zutori, who's gone the other way, $3 out to $3.60. Then we have King Magnus at $6.50. Just the Canters trimmed up from $10 into $8.50. Be Good to Your Mother, $9. Gulwa, $13. Morvada, $16. Specking for Vacillator, $34 into $31 throughout the course of the morning. Then Arcadia Prince, an $81 chance. But Buffalo River has been well back to get back on the winner's list.
Dino, James Cummings usually plays a straight bat, but he gave an indication reading between the lines that Gore on a heavy track won't be far away at a price.
He's going in my quaddy, Gareth. Geez, it's good banter with you and James of a Saturday morning. You just feed off each other beautifully.
Don't know about that, Dino. He keeps me honest, James. He does.
It's good.
Yep.
I'm going with Buffalo River. It's the first time in over a year he's seen a soft track. So I think most of us think that that's probably his preferred going. So he gets that. He's on the backup. He makes his own luck here. He probably sits either outside Morvada or then he takes it up and Be Good to Your Mother or race handy. But, gee, I think it's a great race for Buffalo River. To beat Zutori, who these aren't his best conditions, but he's so well weighted. He's got so much class on his side, and over 1,400, he's going to travel well for a long time. Be Good to Your Mother, ridden forward last start, ran well. Just a canter's there with a chance, and as I said, Gulwa with the wet track form goes in the early quaddy. But 8-1, 7-4 for me.
Gate is one of your favourite players, I reckon, Buffalo River. You stick by him each and every week, picking him in your side. You've identified him on the game plan as your D-Day horse, but one of your best as well. This is his day for you today.
Oh, yeah, no, it's D-Day. Yeah. I mean, look, I watched him there pretty closely at Caulfield, as we all did, since he was, you know, pretty important anchor in what turned out. But he sort of looked like he just waited for him a bit, which I don't love. And then they ran at him, and then he came again. So that concerns me. But he gets the wet track. It's a key, so he gets another go. I think Vacillator is a stupid price. He won it huge odds second up last time in with 60 kilos against the pattern of the day. Zutori, heavy track's a worry, but he's probably one of the best weighted runners of the day. And Be Good to Your Mother. Look, he sat on a crawling tempo last time. You know, the winner was just too good for him, so stop sooking. But he ran okay. 8, 6, 1 and 7.
What are you doing here, Warren?
Well, it's D-Day or B-Day for Buffalo River, if you like. I think on the backup, rain-affected ground, as Dino outlined, himself and Morvada look to control the tempo. And just with that edge from backing up and on the fresh side with just trotter and cantering during the week, it might just let him run to his strengths. Buffalo River and on the rain-affected ground, he should be hard to get past. Eight for me ahead of five, Goulwar, who probably had one of the tougher runs in the race run by Just a Canter, and gets a good turnaround in the weights on that horse through the conditions of this race. Just a Canter won well, though. He's not that well treated at the weights, but he's been back to outs and had a typical Paddy Payne tick over jump out between runs. I think he's in the mix. He'll handle the ground, as will 10 King Magnus, who seems to have been up forever, but he continues to race well, having his races spaced. I've got him in as next best, but Zutori, the query for me was the rain-affected ground, but as the boys have outlined, he's very well treated at the weights here. I've just worked around him on what at this stage is a heavy-rated track. 8-5-4-10.
Dino's with the 8 from the 1-7-4. Gator's with the 8 from the 6-1-7. And Warren's also with Buffalo River, 8-5-4-10 there in race number 6 at Caulfield. Race number 7's the Tristark Stakes. The 1 Carmelas is out. Shallow, the 4 comes out. Sierra Leo Miss is out after winning there on Wednesday at Caulfield. And Quinny, what price can I get for Colette now?
Now odds on Gareth, $1.95, the shortest price favourite on the program. Nimbly, $4.20. Pride of Jenny, $5.50. Steenham, an $11 chance. Aidensfield, $12. Brazen Song, $21. Ruby Street, $34. The market basically reposted following the scratching of the second and fourth favourite respectively, but it's now Colette. Very popular through the all-up bets, but an odds-on quote to get the job done in the first leg of the quaddie.
What are you thinking with Colette here, Gator? $1.95 now with those scratchings. Is she a bet?
Not for me, but I wouldn't talk you out of it. She's one of the best wet trackers in the land, probably on the planet, in fact. So just tough to assist, though, isn't she? Back many levels in grade, running well against the elite. The query is she's just not quickening in her races anymore. I thought she was looking for more ground, not less. And then has a setback, comes back in trip. But to offset that, as she gets a wet track and a drop in class. So, look, if she's in touch and she can wind up in time, she might just blow them away. But I've backed Pride of Jenny at a nice price. She certainly did enough first up. Set a strong speed at Flemington. Collared right on the wire. A pretty handy one. There were some pretty good mares behind her. And she might just be ready to become the mare we thought she'd be early doors. Nimbly, fresh run was good. In a terrible spot. Late, so the section was terrific. And then sat handy, good day to do it at Rosehill, gave her all. She beat on Trevier home, you'd put that on your CV. I think she'll sit right on Pride of Jenny here, up second, and hopefully they can pinch a break on the hottie Colette and run 1-2. Aidensfield's genuine, next best, 8-3-2-6.
What do you make of Colette following racing for a long time, Warren, when they have a setback like that, but from a great cant, they're happy with her? But she's been set at the start of her preparation for a Caulfield Cup, and now she drops back to the 1,400 metres on the same day.
Yeah, it's not ideal, and obviously you're putting a lot of faith in your farrier, as James Cummings outlined, not doubting her talent, and it sounds like she hasn't really missed any work. They've just had to aim up at a different race. But for me, it has to be some concern, but the rain has worked in her favour overnight. I don't think you need to make any excuses for Nimbly, though. She was good chasing a horse that just controlled the race beautifully on speed in Vangelic last start. She might be able to settle into a good spot here. She loves soft ground, and at 2,000 metres, she was just behind the place getters, her only run on heavy ground. So I'm leaning to Nimbly. It's a nice progression for her. She might be better into the Empire Rose, but I think she can run well here and be hard to beat. 3 ahead of 2, Colette, who's got the class. The gear changes with the blinkers off, back in distance, Equicast on, and the shoeing that James Cummings outlined. Not ideal, but she's got the class. 8, Pride of Jenny, ran well. Second up, will strip fitter, make her own luck. And 6, Aidensfield's very consistent, gets the blinkers on. 3-2-8-6.
He's becoming one of our favourites, J.D. Hayes, with the way that he goes about it on the first word, Dino. And he said that Aidensfield is definitely worth an each-way ticket. In fact, he identified her as the stable's best for the day.
Yeah, she does like soft ground, Gareth, so she's deep into a prep, probably not improving, but she goes in the quaddie for me. I've gone with Nimbly. I think her two runs in have been good. She can probably land in the first couple here, get a lovely run, handle soft ground and run well. I think Pride of Jenny, the absolute key to her is that she just seems to resent having horses around her, so when she gets clear air and rolling along, she's pretty hard to get past them. We saw that last time. Even if the day did pan out suiting those sort of horses, I think she can make her own luck here. And it's a good draw for her to have a bit of room early and find a rhythm and run well. I've got a ticket with Colette on it for this day, Gareth, at $34. Yeah. Sadly, it's not in this race. She's very
followed
short.
You in, Dino, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I thought the blinkers might stay on at 1,400 metres. They're actually off. So, look, I'll be interested to see how she goes. She can certainly win because she's a gun wet tracker and she was shaping beautifully in good races, running home some of the better sectionals of the day. So I think she's going well, but that setback can't be ideal. And Steinem's well out of her grade, as in her rating, but I think she's a good mare. It was an obscure race that she kicked off in around Mornington. It was never going to suit her, but she reeled off the best last 200 of the meeting and up to 1,400. Unknown in the wet, but I respect her talent. 3, 8, 2, and 10.
3, 8, 2, and 10 for Dino and the Tristark. 8, 3, 2, and 6 for Gator. And 3, 2, 8, and 6 for Warren Huntley. Let's have a look at race 8. This is the Lingy Stakes, the Carlton Draft Lingy Stakes. You can scratch the 1-vol pint. How Romantic comes out. And Gem of Scotland, the 11, is out, along with the 13, Rainbill, the 14, Aqua Girl, and Garvok, the 15, comes out, along with the 19 and 20 here, Quinny. What's the market doing now?
Good money for number 2, Varda, this morning. Reposted at $4.60 after all those scratchings you just read out, and has been back from $4.60 into $3.80. The favourite now from Ruby Saki, who's a $5 second elect. Then we've got Bless Her, $5.50, has also been a firmer this morning, in from $6.50. M&A, $6.50. Never Talk, $8.50. Lashes, $17 into $16. Sugartown, $19. Paul's Regret, $21, as is Bonds Abroad. Then it's $31 or better the rest. But there's been money for Bless Her this morning, but a good move for the new outright favourite, number 2, Varda.
Yeah, Clayton Douglas gave Bless Her a good push this morning, Warren, but the horses that remain in this field, there's a few with some nice heavy track form.
There is some good wet track form and some good trials, particularly from the horses first up going into it, trials and jump outs. But Varda has had that run, loves rain-affected ground and probably just tucks in behind the speed here. Like the way that she fought to the line with a horse who we know from down here, Lord Olympus, and she was up in the weights with Lord Olympus down in the weights. I thought that was a good performance last start. Fitter 2 for me, had a 6, Bless Her. She chased hard first up. She gets the blinkers on for the first time here. Hadn't had them on with either of her stables leading into this preparation. 12, Lashes has trialled up very nicely behind Malkovich in Sydney to resume here, and she'll get through the ground. 8, Never Talk, probably one of the better wet trackers in the race. I know scratchings have contributed to the prices, but the rain certainly enhanced her chances. She's trimmed up Never Talk. She's a superior wet tracker and goes in everything. 2, 6, 12 and 8.
What's the speed map doing now, Dino, with those scratchings?
Gareth, looking at the speed map, I'm thinking that you've got Lashes probably leading from Barrier 3. You've got the likes of M&H Sugartown, Paul's Regret, Varda, Maliva out wide. They've all got a degree of tactical speed, but certainly a little bit different to how it shaped up when they originally did the race. I think it's a pretty good race for the Godolphin team. I think Varda ran well in that race at Warwick Farm first up. Open sprint, back to set weight and penalty mares grade here, and just drawn away from the rail where I'd want to be by this stage of the day, and just in, you know, should be in that ideal sweet spot just to blend into this race and run really well. To beat 6, Bless Her, I think her first up run was a beauty. The softer ground suits. 1,100's her best trip, and really interesting the blinkers going on. 9, Emanate, the other Godolphin runner, drawn closer to the inside. Certainly handles soft ground, had the 2 runs back, and 12 Lashes, who we've seen down here before, ran well behind Probabil last autumn, makes her own luck here, has trialled well, been chasing home, or chased home Malkovich in a recent trial, looks to be going well and should make her own luck here. But I'm with principally Varda and Bless Her, 2, 6, 9 and 12.
And you're with the Godolphin Army as well, Gator.
Yeah, look, pretty strongly. I had trouble splitting Varda and M&H here. But look, I can see there's a stack of hopes. I don't think there'll be a lot between a lot of these over the line. I'm hoping Varda and or Emanate are in front at the end of it, though. Good case made from the guys there. She did give weight to that promising male, as Ted referenced. And she's got a good scalp in Mask Crusader.
Emanate wide last time, no cover. She still loomed to win it, just couldn't finish it off. First up run was pretty good in the hot race. Her wet track win last prep was through the roof on the clock. She hasn't been able to reproduce that. So I saw a good analogy during the week about a batsman that makes 200 but averages 25. So I better give Dan O'Sullivan a rap there. But that was a ripper. So if she she's not going to hit 200, but if she runs anywhere near that figure, in a wet track win last prep, she'll win this race. So they're the main two for me. But again, stack of hopes. Bonds Abroad, back a notch. Bless Her, Wet Tick, Rubisaki, Lashes, as you've referenced, and Never Talk has had two complete forgive runs. So 2, 9, 7, and 6 for the record.
Dino likes the 2 from the 6, 9, and 12. Gators with the 2, 9, 7, and 16. And Warren Huntley is with the 2 over the 6, 12, and 8 in race 8 there at Caulfield. We'll take a break and we'll come back and take a close look at the Carlton Draft Caulfield Cup. It's time to preview the Carlton Draft Caulfield Cup. Group 1 over the 2,400 metres, Scratch the 8, Quick Thinker, and the Emergency Constantinople, which was the 20 Quinny. What's the market doing here?
Well, if you like the favourite Incentivise, and you said a week ago you were going to get nearly $3, you'd be a little bit surprised, but that could potentially be the case. Incentivise now a $2.70 favourite. Delphi on the second line of betting at $8 has been backed in from 9 this morning. Young Vert at 10, Nonconformist 11. Explosive Jack has been 17 into 13 throughout the course of the week. Also well back to win the Melbourne Cup in the last few days. The Chosen One 14, Montefilia 17 into 15, US at 19, Persan 41 into 26, Master of Wine 41 into 26, She's Ideal 61 into 26. Then we've got Great House 34, Homesman 41, Ocean Billy and Chapada both at 71, Port Gorm 81, Charm Star 101, and Salino 126. But the story is Incentivised, just creeping out ever so slightly in the market. And Delphi has been the mover this morning.
Let's hear from Incentivisers trainer Peter Moody.
I think Brett now has the luxury where he doesn't have to charge anywhere. You know, he could settle second half if he thought they were going stupid. Going to have plenty of galloping room. You know, realistically, he's probably going to be 5 or 6 deep on the first turn. And my thoughts to Brett, I'm not going to suggest too much. He knows him as well as me now. I just wouldn't be rushing anything, you know. Just take your time and go to wherever you want to be or wherever you feel you need to be to win the race. Oh, listen, I think it'll take a big effort to beat him. I think Misadventure of Misfortune's probably his two worst enemies tomorrow. Obviously, the ground, we've got no control over that whatsoever. But the horse has had a faultless, excuseless preparation. So if you feel his form's good enough to win, he wins.
Are you surprised that he's getting out to $3 or close to $3 now, Dino, this favourite?
Not really, Gareth. I think we see this every second or third year that, I can remember December draw a few years ago. He was going to be the shortest price favourite ever, and on the day he got out to about $3.30, and obviously didn't go well on the day. But, I thought that there'd be, it shouldn't be a reaction to the barrier draw because I think it actually suits him, and by this stage of the day he can stay out of trouble. But, it is a Caulfield Cup, and there's a few other chances. I mean, he's a great winning chance, and he's a very backable price now. So, having something on Delphi and him, and to a lesser degree, Montefilia. They're the three I want to play. I was very taken with Delphi's win last Saturday. I've loved every one of his runs through the progression from even Brisbane in the winter. He's running the heavily in the naturalism. I thought he should have beaten Nonconformist. He built again last Saturday, and he's got that mile and a half form, and I think he's a great chance. Incentivise has got a huge winning chance. What he's done's been phenomenal. Montefilia, I've always thought that this race would suit her, you know, just rolling along, especially if she drew out, because she needs a bit of galloping room and handles wet ground and 52 on her back. I think she'll run very well. And I put the other mare in, Duais, and ironically, the four I've tipped are the four last start winners in the race. That's only by coincidence, but they're all in form, which is a good starting point. So, but I'm with Adelphi. 10, 2, 12, and 17.
And Gator, this is your day with Incentivise. You've identified him a long way out for today's race.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, obviously, I didn't think a heavy eight would be happening, but then I thought, and then I sort of thought, hang on, I live in Melbourne. It's such a terrific state these days. He's got to get around Caulfield still as well. So, but look, his two best wins have been when he's been out to a staying trip. Everything about him running through the line in two runs this prep have suggested he's going to be even better over 2,400. So I did hear one of his owners say during the week that there's not much in the pedigree for wet tracks in the family, so that worries me. But look, it is completely out of my control from here. I have to tip him. I'm not worried about the draw. It's the least of my concerns. But he's got to get around Crawford and handle the ground. If he does that, he's a winner, I think. Delphi, obviously just missed non-conformist. They beat third OK. The race rated through the roof. No surprise, the form's been outstanding. Went early last week, held off the chosen one, who ran so well in this race last year to Very Elegant. So very easy to like that form. Chosen one sectionals home were terrific. He was the quickest time of any horse outside of two slowly run sprint races at the end of 2,400. He's flying this horse and he's in the game. And non-conformist, he just ran past the Cox Plate favourite. He beat Delphi start before. You know, on his merits in my humble, they beat third okay. There's Young Werther and Duas and Montefiore, the explosive Jack, round out my wider quaddy. But their second quaddy will have incentivised one out. Two on top, 10, 16, 4.
Warren, what about your speed map here in the Cup? Last year we had Master of Wine making the pace.
Yeah, look, I would have thought the speed to me is out wide. We heard Peter Moody say to Brett Prebble, you know, thinking that, you know, you don't need to rush it. And I don't think he does. There's a decent run to the first bend. Delphi, incentivised, and Holmesman look the most likely horses to roll forward. But, you know, we might see different. It's grand final day. Someone might chance their arm back nearer the inside. I could see Persan holding a spot just behind them, crossing a number of horses drawn inside. And I would think that Craig Williams on non-conformist with that, the good horses right in the market drawn in his proximity, he'll try and not lose contact with them and effectively try and stalk Incentivise and Delphi to some extent. I wonder if anyone thought when Incentivise broke his maiden in April, he'd be favourite and equal top weight in a Caulfield Cup. It's been a remarkable journey, and he's just he's a winner. He's got a great racing style, and he's unbeaten on soft ground. We might be in that range by this stage of the meeting. I think he has to be the one to beat. We're getting a lot better price than we were, you know, a few days ago, and I don't think the barrier draws a negative for him. So I'm with him. Two ahead of 10. Delphi, like the backup. Damien Oliver riding it at that weight is obviously a strong lead for Delphi's chances in this race, trying to equal Scobie Breasley's record of 5 Caulfield Cups. Non-conformist, I just see getting that run where Craig Williams will tactically know where the two favourites are, and he'll be stalking them. Terrific run at weight for age. Last start, Group 1 level. That's a great guide, dropping right down in the weights to 51.5. And 15, Young Werder, who chased hard last start behind Incentivise. I've got him as next best, but I'm putting a few others in the quaddie. 2, 10, 16 and 15.
Dano with Delphi in the Cup. 10, 2, 12 and 17. Gator with Incentivise. 2, 10, 16 and 4. And Warren Huntley with Incentivise as well. 2, 10, 16 and 15. Let's have a look at the last race here on Cup Day. Scratch Swats That, the one, and also Wenthar here, Quinny.
And Malkovich had been well backed in the pre-post betting at $6 initially, backed in from 6 to 4, so good luck to those punters on at the overs. Malkovich now $3.40. The money today has been for the second elect Oxley Road, $4.60 into $4.20. Then we have Curran 6, he's a Bolter 8, All Banter 8, General Bow 9, bit of a jump out to Jigsaw at $18. But initially the money was with Malkovich, but a swing towards the Moody-trained Oxley Road in the lucky last. And just recapping, the best backed runner on the program, race 4. We're hoping to get the cash here with number 10, Kapalua Sunset.
Enjoy your day, Quinny. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Gareth.
Gator, who are you tipping in the last?
Look, I think Malkovich's going to give you a great side. He's unbeaten at 1,000. His trials have been outstanding. Yeah, he's going to run fast for a long time. Curran's a good little horse. He's a ripper, in fact. Just staying at a shorter trip. I think it was 1,100 he'd be riding this. He still is. But 1,000 is to advantage Malkovich, I think. Oxley Road, the Master Crusader form's likeable. Back to 1,000 is no negative. And General Bow, ridden a bit colder, back to 1,000. You know, seems to be the right recipe with him. 3, 10, 9 and 8 home.
Talking about great stories, Warren, you can tell your mates, I purchased a horse online for $600. And I'm winning on Caulfield Cup Day and the Caulfield Sprint. That's the story that Curran's been able to produce.
Yeah, he's been a terrific horse for Connections, hasn't he? Look, I'm with Oxley Road here. He was only getting 1.5 kilos off Masked Crusader, that race at Caulfield. He drops to 53 kilos here. He'll handle the ground. Back to 1,000 metres, a positive, and he's had a nice jump out between runs. 9 for me. Ahead of 6, he's a Bolter, who's flying for the Clarkin stable. Malkovich goes in. His trial is terrific in Sydney. We know He's a fast horse. You expect him to do that. 8, General Bow. Maybe some query on the ground, but going very well. 9, 6, 3, 8.
And what are you doing in the final event here, Dino?
I'm with Oxley Road, Gareth, but I would say that by this stage of the day, you'll know the track pattern. If the inside's holding up to a degree, I think he's well suited, and really looking forward to seeing Blake McDougall maybe getting a feature win to beat General Bow. A good solid 3-year-old can run well in this race. 3, Melkovich, will make his own luck, and I think if they're running on down the centre, he's a bolter's got a massive chance. He won't be leading as he did last start. There's a lot more speed here, but look for him to be charging late. 9, 8, 3, and 6.
9, 8, 3, and 6, as Dana just pointed out in the last. Gators with the 3, 10, 9, and 8, and Warren Huntley in the last. He likes the 9 from the 6, 3, and 8. Okay, Dana, your best on Caulfield Cup Day and a quaddie, please, and then Leanne's multi, if that's okay.
I'm going to be playing early, Gareth. My best is race 2, number 1, Vianello. Next best is Extreme Flight, race 3, number 3. And my best value is race 1, number 7, Mimi's Award. So I'll be playing a little parlay in those first three races. The quaddie, the first leg, numbers 2, 3, 6, 8, and 10. The second leg, 2, 6, 9, 10, and 12. In the Corvette Cup, numbers 2, 10, 12, and 17. And in the final leg, numbers 3, 6, 8, and 9. What else have I got? Leanne's multi.
Yes.
Of course, can't forget that.
No.
She's gone to Perth. I think she must have spoken to a friend of ours. Hardly Ever in race 1. Colette in race 7 in Melbourne and in Sydney. Think It Over comes to $8.25.
Hey, you're a beautiful man, Dano. Looking forward to catching up with you with the spring ticket team just after 12 o'clock.
Good to have you on board, Gareth. Looking forward to it.
Yep, there's Dean Lester there. Gator, what about your best bets and a quaddy, please?
You were due for another gig, Mr. Hall. Yes. Okay, first leg, we're going to go 8, 3, and 2 only. So pretty skinny, that first leg, which should hopefully get us through. The Yearlingy's tough, but 2, 9, the Godolphin pair, then 7, 6, and 10. Those numbers are 2, 9, 7, 6, and 10. The Caulfield Cup, 2 incentivised, as referenced, 1 out in the second quaddie, but we'll take a few in the main quaddie. 2, 10, 16, 4, 15, 17. And coming home with just Melkovich, Curran and Oxley Road. So just 3, 10, and 9.
You need
our best.
Yep.
Best. 9 by 2 incentivised.
Race 9, number 2. Don't forget our lunch coming up when we get out of lockdown too, Gator. I booked you in.
Yeah, I can't make it. I'm busy. What was the date again?
Don't worry, I'm picking you up. Thanks, mate. I'll catch up with you shortly for the Sydney preview. Warren, your best bet at a quaddie, please.
My best is race 2, number 1, Vianello. The favourites during the day, I'm happy to be with her. Quaddie 2, 3 and 8, the first leg. 2, 6, 8 and 12, second leg. In the cup, 2, 4, 10, 12, 15 and 16. Home with numbers 3, 6, 8, 9 and 10.
3, 6, 9, 8 and 10 for you in the last there, Warren. Enjoy the hour and a half there with the review on Correct Weight. Looking forward to that tomorrow because it'll be another big show as we look back on Everest Day and, of course, Caulfield Cup Day, mate.
Yeah, just something else for Dino to get his mind around.
Good on you, Warren. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Gareth.
It's time for the news, and then the Sydney preview will kick off the Interstate Hour as we take a look at Everest Day with Lizzie Jellison and David Gately.